This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the mid-morning mic check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour breaking news center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
All right, welcome back on this National Let It Go Day.
Let it go, can't hold it back anymore.
Let it go. Lots of things in our lives that we would like to let go of. And so that's what we're going to ask this hour.
K-Post, this could be anything.
Text line 945-766-1080. What do you want to let go of?
I'm not going to let that person bother me at work anymore. I'm not going to let that memory of whatever haunt me.
Here's some of the ones that I just saw.
Let go of my smoking habit.
Vaping.
That's right.
That's what I'm seeing. There's this Reddit thread they've got going. They ask that question. Depression, anxiety, stress, the past, worrying.
Some of these people need to work through some issues here, though.
Dreading the future, PTSD, feeling guilty for resting, hate, addiction. And then the last one, about 60 pounds.
Oh, just let it go, 60 pounds.
What I want to let go of. What do you want to let go of? 945-766-1080. Let us know as we continue here on KRLD into hour number two, this warm and humid Tuesday. And we're getting more reaction now to a story Austin just mentioned, the hiring of Dusty May as the Mavericks' new head coach.
Kind of an interesting hire. Neither one of us expected it.
He led the Wolverines, Michigan Wolverines, to an NCAA championship just a few months ago, putting the cherry on top of a 34-3 season.
Oh, they were dominant throughout.
That came 3 years after he led Florida Atlantic to its only Final Four appearance ever.
They've barely ever been in the tournament.
We'll start with Zach Wolchek, 105.3 The Fan. He says, this is what the Mavs need. Probably more so than their other choice, Duke head coach John Shire.
If you're going to get a college coach, this dude's been there, done that. He took a program at FAU and was on a historic run with them. Then in year two, bam, wins a national championship. John Shire has everything at his fingertips at Duke. And he's been a great recruiter, and I get the relationship with Cooper Flagg, but that is a program that under his leadership has blown double-digit leads in massive games and hasn't shown the ability to close. Give me Dusty May. If you're going to gamble with a big-name college coach, I love what they did here, boys.
Brian Windhorst with ESPN. He says May was a hot commodity.
Dusty May has been high on NBA teams' lists as a guy that they could get for a year or so now, even before he was a national champion coach. The Orlando Magic, I think, had some interest there. The Golden State Warriors, had Steve Kerr decided to retire, I think he would have been high on the Golden State Warriors list. And Masai Ujiri and the Mavericks really wanted a college coach. They tried multiple times, from what I am told, to talk John Shire into coming to Dallas. The Cooper Flagg connection there. But Dusty May has been on their roster for a while. And if I'm not mistaken, he did agree to a contract extension in Michigan.
Did.
But I don't think he ever signed it. I think that contract has been sitting on his desk for several weeks, unsigned. I think because he had interest in moving on to the NBA. It's not something that leaked out, but was definitely, so Dusty May has been a guy, a player, a coach of interest for a while in the NBA.
And even Stephen A. loves the hire.
I like this man. You understand? 27-10 last year. What was it this year like? They ran the whole gamut. Big time. Big Ten championship, national title, the whole bit. He deserves this opportunity. I got no problem with it whatsoever. He's proven when you're looking for coaches on the collegiate level that can adapt to the NBA culture or could bring some of that for young studs on the NBA level, like a Cooper Flagg. I get it. I understand it. I don't mind this deal at all. Dusty May has proven that he deserves this opportunity, but more importantly, you finish the job. Finish the job. He finished. John Shire did it.
May gets here just in the nick of time, too, because tonight is the NBA draft.
You wonder, I mean, he just got the job, how much influence he's going to have on the draft. You would have to think he has some.
And I wonder if they'll take a Michigan guy.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that. They're 34-3.
Maybe they have better luck with Michigan than the Cowboys do.
Oh, God, don't even mention that.
Mavericks have two first-round picks tonight, though. They've got number 9 and number 30.
And unlike last, I don't know, the 5 or 6 drafts, this is supposed to be a pretty deep draft. The NBA doesn't usually have deep drafts. This one's supposed to be one of those.
Got to get some guys to build with. You got Cooper Flagg now.
Got to get some people around him.
Working on the rest of the team. By the way, I thought this was interesting. Of the local Big Four,
okay.
Cowboys, Rangers, Mavericks, and Stars, which head coach or manager manager currently has the longest tenure. Would you believe it's Brian Schottenheimer?
Shotty, huh?
Who got hired by the Cowboys in January of last year.
Lots of turnover in Big D.
That was less than a year and a half ago, but that's enough to put him at the top of the list. And then it's Glenn Gullitson of the Stars. He got hired last summer.
That's true.
Skip Schumacher of the Rangers in early October, right after the season ended last year. So they're less than a year, both of them, and now Dusty May.
You know what, though? Out of all the teams that needed a new head coach, I think the Mavs probably needed it the most out of all of those because of the Luka thing and what we're trying to do and rebuild. And
even if you expand this to include FC Dallas, their current coach, Eric Quill, relatively new, he got hired just 2 months before the Cowboys hired Shotty. And the Dallas Wings, they have a new coach, too. So
that's right.
Like, it's a turnover, turnover, turnover.
It's a new dawn in Dallas. Everything's brand new, and it all means championships, I'm sure.
I'm just curious with Dusty May and Kyrie. Kyrie's going to be back, you know.
Well, and that's, I heard a lot of speculation about that. Does that mean that Kyrie might be on his way out? Is he trade bait tonight for the draft? Could we move down? Could we move up?
You could definitely move up.
Is he going, is he going to be on the trading block? No one really knows what kind of condition he's going to be in next year. I mean, you would assume he's going to be healthy, but again, he's 36 at that point, 35. So is the knee going to be completely healed?
The history of the new management on this team is that they are willing to roll the dice.
Yeah, and they're willing to open up the pocket. But think about this. To get Dusty May, you have to open the wallet a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
To get rid of Jason Kidd, you had to swallow a lot of money. That's like $40 million.
They just re-signed.
And then Ujiri, as the team president, he was probably one of the most sought-after names in the game. You probably had to sign him for $10 to $12, $15 million. So,
well, the Adelsons have the money.
Yeah, they do. And they also realize, boy, we really screwed up. We need to. That's one thing. I want to give kudos to Patrick Dumont for realizing something bad happened here. Let's fix this immediately.
Try and turn things around.
Yeah.
Other news this morning, we got a shocking new twist to tell you about in the search for Nancy Guthrie. Remember, we hadn't heard much about her.
No, but now this one.
Abducted or disappeared, I guess.
Five months ago.
And so now, as we said, a new twist in this case.
5 months after Nancy Guthrie was taken from her home by a masked man in the middle of the night, ABC News can disclose the contents of a second ransom note the family received in the days after she vanished. The first note demanded millions in cryptocurrency. Sources tell ABC News the second note claimed Guthrie had died shortly after she was taken and was buried in nature, something her daughter Savannah Guthrie appeared to reference days later in an Instagram post.
We received your message and we understand. We beg you now to return our mother to us so that we can celebrate with her. This is the only way we will have peace. This is very valuable to us, and we will pay.
The FBI believes the two notes came from the same sender, but investigators have so far been unable to determine who that is.
I believe the two notes that we received, that we responded to, I tend to believe those are real.
Investigators are still trying to identify the armed, masked man seen lurking at Nancy Guthrie's front door. They're also testing a hair found at the home and a mixed DNA sample, hoping those clues will lead to her kidnapper.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. So Savannah Guthrie, new statement this morning.
Yeah, she said something like, she says someone knows something. They just got to come forward, and maybe that little piece of information cracked this case. But as we speculated way back then, we always figured that she was probably, Nancy was probably passed.
She was in very poor health.
Yeah.
Very elderly, bad health.
Apparently she was sharp, but that's about the only thing that she had going for her. Physically, she was not in great shape. And we always figured that as time had gone by, that she was probably dead. And now we know that the second ransom note actually commented on that.
Buried in nature.
Well, what does that mean?
That means a shallow grave in the desert.
Yeah, something like that. Or yeah, that's not pretty picture.
And Savannah Guthrie saying in this new statement, we cannot be at peace. We're in agony. They just want closure.
That's right. It's the same. You know, I don't understand these things, but the family always says the not knowing where the body is for people that have never been able to find the body or the remains, that just will eat at the family until, I mean, every day.
Just not knowing.
And so they want to give a proper burial and end the whole thing.
It's like you don't want to hear the details, but you do.
Yeah, you kind of do, because you want it to be over.
Yeah.
Speaking Speaking of let it go.
Taking a break. Yeah, by the way, let it go. Things you want to let go.
Somebody already wrote in, letting go of past hurts.
That's pretty broad.
Yeah, exactly. How often were you hurt? Yeah, we've all been hurt. We've all taken a few lashes.
What do you want to let go of? At 945-766-1080 here at KRLD. I got a supporter on the barefoot lawn mowing.
Yeah, there you go. You're back.
Mike, I always mow barefoot. I'm on your side with this one. Heavily wooded 6 acres.
What wood?
I don't know if you and I would do that.
Yeah, exactly. Out in the rocks.
Well, the heat is on in Europe. A deadly heat wave.
What, like 88?
No. About 113.
Okay.
And boy, they are not used to that. No. We've got the story coming up. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Got some new information. Remember the ice shooting in Alvarado,
yeah.
Last year.
Prosecutors accused of Antifa ties and convicted in Texas Immigration Center shooting. Listen to some of these sentences here. 6 sentences have been handed out so far. Remember, there's 9 total. All at least 50 years. Benjamin Song, who was supposed to be the ringleader of the whole thing, 100 years for firing an officer. Remember, and the officer wasn't killed, but they fired off several things and they had planned a big destruction.
That was my question. Did nobody die? Did anybody die?
Someone got shot in the neck, and he did survive. But, I mean, they're sending a message. If you're planning attacks on federal agents, I guess, don't even try it. And this apparently they were loaded up with a bunch of weapons. And so there's weapons charges. There's terrorist charges. There's actual attempted murder charges. All these kinds of things. But it's still coming down right now as far as the sentences.
And there's 8 of them, terrorism charges. So yeah. more on that to come. Woo. Here on KRL.
Boy, they're not messing around.
No, they're not. And they say Antifa members.
Yeah, Antifa members.
Antifa operatives. I mean, Antifa is not...
It's such a large... That could see a lot. But either way, it doesn't matter, Antifa or not. They were just accused of terrorism.
Well, it's the crime. Europe is dealing with a deadly heat wave.
Most of Europe doesn't really do air conditioning. We know at least 40 people have died since Thursday alone. Among them, sadly, 2 young children who were left in the back of a hot car. But the majority have died drowning, swimming in unsupervised water. There are health alerts in dozens of cities from Germany to Italy. Here in the United Kingdom, we are going to break weather records as well.
And it's not just the heat.
Just last night, thunderstorms broke out all over London. There was a flash flooding reported, and the Met Office here reported nearly 30,000 lightning strikes in just a 24-hour period. So a weather roller coaster, but the heat continues throughout.
And just to give you an idea of what they're dealing with, Paris hit 97 today. They're going to be at 101 tomorrow. London says, hold my beer. They could hit 104 tomorrow in London.
God, and you've gone over there. I've gone over there. And one thing that those countries do not really invest a lot in or don't know much about, AC.
AC.
They don't even put ice in their coats.
That is an afterthought.
Water.
It is well over 100 in Madrid right now. And the hottest of all is the city of Andujar in southern Spain. They could hit 113 degrees tomorrow.
God,
that's the all-time record here.
113. Yeah, it's the thing is, it's when we hear heat waves and so on, it's not necessarily the heat itself. It's those places that are just not ready for it. They're not prepared for it because they don't see that kind of temperature.
Of course, when it comes to the weather, we all have our cross to bear. And here in Texas, it's not just the heat, but hail damage as well. What you may not know is that there's a lab in South Carolina that has been running a crash test dummy-like facility to come up with new building materials to protect America's homes from the hail. ABC's Ginger Z tells us about it.
While tornadoes and wind get the most attention,
look at this!
Oh my God.
Hail is one of the most expensive hazards in the U.S. And hail affects every part of the country. Some stones, though, they're as big as volleyballs. In 2025, one insurance company noting $5.6 billion worth of hail damage claims.
Particularly the last 2 or 3 years have been the worst years on record. Mm-hmm. Each one is overclaiming the next one as being the worst on record. And so we went from roughly $12 billion a year in insured losses on hail to 25.
Wow. And that's why we came here to the Insurance Institute of Business and Home Safety to learn more about hail. Here at the Hail Lab, they make their own hailstones with great attention to density and then with velocity to make sure it's just like a hailstone hitting your home.
They take those hailstones, crush them to test density and hardness, compare it to the real thing, and then fire them into different materials like roofing, siding, and windows.
asphalt shingles are great because they are just a baseline entry-level roofing product that's very affordable, and they are less resilient to hail than maybe some of these more expensive composite materials. These are choices that homeowners can make. Invest now, save later.
If you're a homeowner, I would suggest invest, because you know you're going to get hit with hail.
And you heard him shooting the hailstones out of a gun. Depending on the size and the shape, hailstones can reach speeds 100 miles an hour when they hit your roof.
Now, I have been in a hailstorm, and luckily my car was just dented. It didn't smash. You've actually been in a car where it smashed out the window.
That was in a KRLD news unit during the Mayfest storm in 1995.
Oh, that was the big one.
Yeah,
wow.
The big one.
What do you ever remember the ball, that size of the ball that shattered the window?
They were about the size of grapefruits.
Oh, my God.
And I was sitting in the front. All I remember is sitting in the front seat. I had one of those old bag phones, so I was actually on the air at the time. And they were just smashed. And after one of them hit the windshield, I looked down, and there were little pieces of glass in my lap. It was like, time to get in the back.
Get some shelter here.
It's not good. And there was no, you're just out in the open.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it. Try to outbeat it by driving, but then they're going to hit harder.
You are stuck. Trendy social game. You play it with friends. Yelp reports a 4,467% year-over-year increase.
That's a lot.
In searches for Mahjong clubs, the searches for lessons are up over 800%. Game is pulling in both millennials, even members of Gen Z. They're looking for a screen-free, in-person connection.
Wow, what a concept.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
And some celebrities are getting into it, too.
I play Mahjong with my girlfriends once a week.
Julia Roberts loves it. Rosie and Fran Drescher are obsessed. You've seen it in movies like The Joy Luck Club and Crazy Rich Asians. But Mahjong has been around since the 19th century. Created in China, it was brought to America by Chinese immigrants in the 1920s. Today, there are several versions around the world, all slightly different, including American, Japanese, Korean, and South African. The goal of the American version is to match 14 tiles with one of the patterns on this card. It's a game that feels like a mix of bingo and gin rummy and takes immense concentration, making it extremely popular with people who want to keep their minds active but are perhaps not quite ready to dive into the world of bridge.
Oh, have you heard of this?
Mahjong? I've heard of it. Never played it.
That's the way. Immediately when she told me about it, I went to start looking at it. Yeah. Wall Street Journal had a big report about it. The Atlantic had a big write-up. USA Today. I was like, why? Am I living under a rock? How have I never heard of this?
I mentioned this to Martha, and she said, oh, yeah, it's huge. I know lots of people who play it.
Good God.
So it's having a moment, even if it is complicated and expensive, too. Those Mahjong sets aren't cheap, but that is not stopping people from playing it.
Mahjong!
We just wanted to build a community of Mahjong players. And it's just caught on. I mean, it's just blown up.
In Dallas, Lindy Casey is one of 60 women who meet every week to play Mahjong. They love the concentration, the competition, and the connection with each other.
When I moved here to Dallas, it was Mahjong that helped me make friends. My daughter's 5, and I play with her, and so she loves it too.
Even Gen Zers want to get their Mahjong.
I started my Mahjong club because I just felt like our generation was missing out, and I knew a bunch of our moms were playing, so I was like, definitely thought that.
You're like, what's going on with the moms?
Yeah.
Sometimes we should do it. And do you feel like you're going to get a big following in the high school set?
Yes, definitely. I already started introducing it to my friends, and they're already, like, obsessed.
Now, the traditional game, it's designed for 4 players, but there are variations in which you can play with just 2 or 3. This is like it's the new pickleball.
Yeah, my dad's wife, she set up a Mahjong tournament at the country club, and she tried to show me a little bit of how to play it. I'm like, oh, this is going to take a while here.
Well, a lot of seniors are into this, and here's something else that a lot of seniors are into. Next time you're at the grocery store, if you see someone pushing around a cart with an upside-down pineapple in it, look the other way. Or maybe not, depending on what you're into. Because it turns out that is a code for DTF.
That's right. And we're not going to say what DTF means. You can figure it out.
It's like the TV show.
Yeah.
And it all started on cruise ships.
For the uninitiated, an upside-down pineapple is often used as a discrete symbol among certain groups to indicate, well, let's just say, a more social cruise experience.
Yeah. Looking for a little horizontal refreshment.
Oh, boy.
And if you get a pineapple refrigerator magnet and you put it upside down on your cabin door, or maybe a little pineapple pin and you wear it upside down on your clothing, that too is code for...
Would you like
like to have a hole in the hay? It's fun.
And if you're married or in a relationship, the upside down pineapple means you're a swinger.
Now, don't worry. It's harmless fun for those in the know, but it's worth being aware of so you don't accidentally send the wrong message with your decor.
Had you ever heard of this?
No, not at all.
And we are being made to feel like we're so out of it.
I'm just like, yeah, everyone is writing in on our, oh, you idiots.
Apparently we're not alone.
Apparently
though.
There's a lot of swingers out there that this is the code. You do it at the cruise ship. You could do it at a club. You could do it at a grocery store.
At the grocery store.
One guy was wearing a pineapple shirt, you know, pineapple.
No, I don't know what that means.
Oh yeah.
That's the sign that you're a swinger.
Upside down pineapple.
On like your clothes.
They had a swingers vibe. Okay.
Now, on cruises, you can also put the magnets onto other people's doors with your room number written on it. This guy knows all about that. He posted this humble brag video on TikTok about how many pineapples he had received on his cruise.
I'm going to take you in the cabin real time. That's pineapple number one. Pineapple number two. Dude, just not another pineapple. Good God almighty.
And this guy wasn't exactly George Clooney either.
All right.
He was in this sweaty Hawaiian shirt, the big belly. So this stuff's running rampant, especially, as we said, among older Americans, to the point that one big cruise line, Carnival, they've had to ban it. No more upside down pineapple. So people are just doing it at the grocery store instead. So if you see someone with an upside down pineapple in their cart and you're interested, you give their cart a little bump with your cart and then they strike up a conversation.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
That's what that means.
Good Lord. See, that's what they're thinking. DTF is going to turn into STD on those cruise ships.
My God. Oh, man. All right, coming up, we're going to wrap up the show this morning, introduce you to the loudest person on Earth.
Oh, man, do we really want to hear this person?
As certified by the Guinness Book, what does a 122-decibel voice sound like?
In our headphones?
You're about to find out.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Wrapping it up for the Mid-Morning Mic Check here, Mike Rogers and Austin York with you. And you know, when he got the job of town crier, Homer Simpson was pretty impressive.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air! All hollering, all the time!
Not as impressive, though, as Joseph McGrail of Canberra, Australia, who has just been confirmed by the people at the Guinness Book as being the loudest person on Earth. The loudest voice.
Oh boy, here we go.
And he used that old town crier shtick to set the record.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! My lords, my ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Canberra!
That's pretty strong, pretty strong.
Came in at 122.4 decibels, breaking the previous record of 121.7, which was set more than 30 years ago by a woman.
I bet that one.
I've met that
no
woman.
No doubt, yeah.
She's a school teacher in Northern Ireland named Annalisa Flanagan.
You actually interviewed her?
I've met women.
Oh, okay.
Who could probably give her a run for her money.
Probably.
So she was a school teacher, and Joseph breaks her record. He's an air conditioning repairman who was asked about practicing or something like this.
My daughter's deaf now. No, there's no way that you can actually practice for it. You have to just keep it for the day.
And that's exactly what he did, but it still wasn't easy.
My voice was shot for the next couple of days as well. It was husky. It was terrible.
Oye, oye.
Wow.
122.7.
He's got a strong one. Maybe he should go into radio.
Today's June 23rd. 10 years ago today, Britain voted to leave the European Union.
We will call it Independence Day.
Well, it's kind of Breyer's Remorse Day, because Reuters is out with a poll this week. It shows 57% of all Brits now saying Brexit might have been a mistake, to just 30% who still
all
support
all kinds
it.
Of hell over there in that country right now.
June 23rd, 1996, 30 years ago today, during the Olympic trials in Atlanta, Michael Johnson, the pride of Skyline High School, he ran away from the field in the 200 meters.
Michael Johnson wins it.
He ran it in 19.66 seconds. That record stood for 11 years until Usain Bolt broke it.
Nice.
That's it for us. Mike and Austin here. It's Mid-Morning Mic Check. Another one in the books. If you missed anything, check out the podcast version of the show, wherever you get your podcasts. Chad Benson, he is in next. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.